The following presentation was recorded at the Buddhist Society of Victoria, Malvern East, Australia. Please visit our website at bsv.net.au.
Meditation is interesting. I've been during this weekend, we did reflections, and reflection is something helps you with your meditation. You reflect the life on more wholesome, positive way. I think quite often we tend to reflect things which are not suitable for a reflection, which are not supposed to be reflected, but we reflect things which are not suitable. A lot of the work we're supposed to be doing on meditation, it's the work we should be doing before we sit down. I said on Sunday here, and I've said it many times, very, very often people come and tell us, I cannot meditate. I don't have time to meditate. All these same things come up over and over again. We teach metta meditation or metta, people come and tell us, I cannot do metta. I don't feel it. It doesn't work. Maybe we should stop teaching. It doesn't seem to be working. It's interesting, I went to Pindabad this morning. I was in alms round, and it's a very, very beautiful thing to do. I really appreciate it, and I do it. Not that I need to get extra food. There's always plenty of food coming towards us. Hey, Sue. So I went to Pindabad this morning, the alms round, calling English, and I came back, and I was, interesting thing, I did this long route, and you meet a lot of beautiful people there, people give me food, and then I came to this corner here on the Darling Road next to the Vietnamese shop there, and two Sri Lankan ladies happened to be there, and she didn't even know we existed here. So I was a bit surprised that, she was happened to be walking so nearby, and she didn't even know we're here. So, and she gave me food, and she said, like, oh, in Sri Lanka I used to go to temple, but here we don't have time. Okay, so Australia, you're so busy, you can't even come to temple. And that's one of those complaints we get all the time. I don't have time to meditate. Did you manage to open the door? No, not yet. Somebody forgot. There's not enough time to meditate. There's not enough. What? Yeah, cool. So the common complaint is, I cannot meditate. My mind is too busy. Or I don't have time. What other things you can say? Why don't you meditate? Because you just don't get around doing it. You just don't feel like it. What other excuses you have today? Can you give me excuses? Why don't you meditate? Too many distractions. Yeah, that's right. So you would rather distract yourself. Yeah, okay. Yeah, very common. I'm guilty as anybody with that. It meditate. Wow, okay, makes you feel bad. Yeah, that could be something why you don't want to meditate if it makes you feel bad. I'm trying to, hopefully, I'm guiding today so you won't make you feel worse. What did it work? Meditation makes you feel bad. Yeah, that's right, especially when you're stuck in a toilet. Yeah, that's right. So I think those are the common things. Absolutely. So how to motivate yourself, how to get over those things. So the groundwork should be done before we meditate. I go to Pindabad, for example, just to uplift my mind in the morning. Like I said, I don't need more food. There's always plenty of food coming here. But it's almost like a double benefit. I feel that the people who see us, I can see the happiness in their eyes when they give to monastics. They need to see us monastics. There's something to that. And then just I see the happiness in people's faces, in their eyes, then that makes me happy. So there's a reason that's good enough for me, if anything, just that happiness of seeing on people. I want to do that because it helps my practice, it helps my meditation. So I'm doing, that's my groundwork. I like to come and teach here because it uplifts my mind. Recently, I've been having a bit of health problems. I'm not going to go too much there, but there, and I was struggling a bit here when I came on Friday. I came, and then Saturday I did the whole day meditation. I felt that, okay, it's going to be a bit rough because it's hard for me to sit. But it's interesting that when, so we did this day meditation, and you would think I definitely thought I will struggle. But the what happened is my mind was uplifted. I started to teach. We were doing the Anusati. We were teaching the contemplations of Buddha and Dhamma. And it's something, Anusati is something which, the reason we do that is to uplift your mind. It's a reflection, but the reason we do this reflection is to bring happiness in your mind. When you see something beautiful in life, that's something which you feel good about, seeing something, somebody helping others or reflecting the good qualities of somebody. Or even the teachings, you reflect the good qualities of the teachings, how they help you. However you want to reflect it. So I feel it's interesting that the sickness I had, I didn't really struggle at all. It was not that I tried to push it away from my mind, but it just sort of didn't exist. And then it came back on Saturday night. I say, okay, well, it seems to be. And then again, I was quite, for some reason, my own talk inspired me on Sunday. And now it seems to be gone. Who knows? I mean, it could be just, it just dissipated. It just happened to be so. People have been feeding me good food. I have a lot of stomach problems. But who knows? Maybe it is the inspiration. Maybe it is the meditation I've been doing more this weekend. So what would take you away from that kind of thinking? Meditation is hard. It makes me feel bad. You need to see more of the benefits. If you look into anything in life, if your contemplation is that you see the negativity on something, you will find negative aspects on anything. It's like you're a critic of something. You train your mind to be critical of something. So don't become a meditation critic of your own mind critic. You have to be very careful with that. I was a chef one point in my life, and it's really tricky job, because you become very critical of food. And when, for example, when you become a monastic, the food is always brought to us, and it's not. Oh, good, you're back now, and the person cut out of it as well, so that's great. I had to really change my way, how I perceive food, how I look at the food, well, how people give us food. You give your dana donation, you give the best of what you can make, what, you know, comes out of, it's not the high-end cuisine. I trained myself into. So I changed my perception actively. I had to change my perception into looking the food with gratitude. So you actively have to change your mind into looking more into the gratitude part. Start seeing the goodness. So this is part of the groundwork we do. You cannot meditate. Yeah, okay, fair enough. But it's because you haven't done the groundwork enough. The metta meditation, metta doesn't work. Okay, you haven't done enough of the groundwork. You haven't been practicing enough of that. If all of us, we all teach the same things, you listen to different teachers, you start hearing the same things over and over again. We teach the same things, metta meditation or breath meditation, very, very similar kinds of way of teaching. And it cannot be that we all teach something which is that it's not working. But, and there's good teachers, like I came across, I've been a couple retreats actually done, and I've been lucky enough in Perth, we have a retreat center, China Grove, and there's a Burmese monk coming there once in a while, Utejaniya, his name is. Very nice monk. He became quite a popular, early on already, he wasn't even that senior when we first started to get him to teach there, and he's been very popular of teaching this very, very basic groundwork meditation, how you do the groundwork. He doesn't go too much about, really, he doesn't teach suttas. He doesn't teach too much about just vipassana meditation per se. He teaches to look at your mind before you sit down. That's a lot of the things I've noticed. I've read a little bit of his books. And I've listened to him. And the work, what he gets people to do is do that, the groundwork. Look at your mind throughout the day. And I remember there is one thing what he says in one of his books is don't underestimate your defilements. Defilement is something in your mind which is like anger. It's a defilement of your mind. It defiles the goodness of your mind. It defiles the purity of your mind. So don't underestimate your defilements in your mind. And look at them, something dangerous. Something is not correct in your mind if you have a lot of anger in your mind. If you have a lot of greed in your mind. Very this kind of emotions which are never really fulfilling, that were not satisfying. You're expecting from life something from life which it can never give you. So we need to keep at working on that everyday life, and then meditation works. It's easier, and it becomes easier and easier and easier over the years, over the months, of the weeks. It's difficult to see sometimes. I remember somebody asked Dalai Lama, I remember a quote from him. He said, have you changed with this practice? Does the practice change you? Has it changed your mind? And he says, if I look a week or month or year, I don't see any change. But if I look back 10 years, I can see change. And even for him, he could see the practice getting deeper and deeper over the years, over decades rather, almost. So you almost have to, don't expect too much from a short period of practicing. But if you practice a decade, you look at back in your life, your mind, and you said, it's working. If you practice a decade on this groundwork, keep being kind towards yourself. Just remind yourself. I mean, what happens actually, very naturally, you come to us and we remind you all the time, be kind to yourself, be kind to yourself. Loving kindness starts from yourself. Over and over again, we tell you that. And that affects your mind, and then you incline towards that. It starts working. Ajahn Brahm calls it brainwashing, and it's a nice brainwashing. So when we keep at it, when we do the groundwork, and it starts working, then it's easier to meditate. It's still very easy to get distracted, I must admit, even as being a monk. It's very easy to get distracted with something in life, whether it's studying, whether it's writing something. You think there's always something important to do in my life as well. So I have to, there is a certain aspect of discipline. Hopefully there's not too much of discipline that you say, okay, I need to sit for 1 hour, and you just become something where you need to just discipline yourself to do. Hopefully it's something you can just find relaxing. Meditation should be just relaxing, being at ease with yourself. And that's really only thing you have to do, being at ease with yourself. You cannot change your life too much. You have a busy life, school, work, family. A lot of things are in our minds a lot of times. But if you can be at ease with that, those things what just always follows you everywhere, then meditation will happen. You don't do meditation, meditation happens. You just need to get out of the way. That's the only thing you have to get to do. Just get lost. Okay, I don't see anybody leaving, so let's try to get lost in some other way. So, and we have lights, action, camera. Let's try to get lost for a little while. It's always good to be comfortable wherever you're sitting. And don't worry, if you need to move, please do so while meditating, when sitting. But be mindful of the people around you. Sound is one of the things which actually distracts you from meditation, and it does the same thing for others. So if you're moving in a hall or you're changing posture, do it like you were sneaking into somewhere and you don't want them to notice you're doing it. Not that you need to feel shame about it, but do it with carefulness, out of respect to others. So first thing always we like to do when we start meditating is to make sure that we are relaxing the body for a while. So whatever wherever you feel tension, just try to get comfortable as possible. It's difficult to meditate lying down because of you tend to sleep really easy, but that's why sitting is actually very, very good neutral posture. And then we start looking our body with kindness. Instead of being critical of the body, we're not critics for a while. Where somebody you can find appreciation towards our body. We look at our bodies with kindness, not with critics' eyes. You feel the legs underneath you, whether they are crossed or underneath the seat. You feel both of your legs And you imagine your legs underneath. There's certain kind of feelings there, there's warmth. There's pressure, there's softness. Sometimes it's nice to label things and give them a little object so you realize it's not really yours. There's just warmth or pressure there, but it's not yours. But let's start doing a little trip through our body, like you were going into a place where you haven't visited for a while. So let's feel the toes. All of the toes in your left foot, and look at them with kindness and gratitude that they've been working for you all day. And let your toes on your left foot relax. And the same with all the toes on your right foot. Your left foot, the whole foot below your ankle, just let it relax and be kind towards that. If you cannot be kind towards your left foot, well, at least think about it. How can you relax it more? And same with your right foot. How can you just make it more comfortable? Let those both of those feet be comfortable as possible. And both of your legs, starting all the way from the pelvis, the left leg, make sure it's comfortable as possible. It's at ease, let it relax. Relax your left leg and your right leg. Relax. Give them kindness and positivity and softness. Same with your pelvis. You can imagine the bone inside of your pelvis. And your guts inside of your stomach, your large intestine and small intestines and the stomach, and just breathing to your stomach, relaxation, just let go of all the worries from your stomach when you're breathing out. Just let your stomach relax and imagine what they feel like inside, that they're almost opening up all those creases and pipes and whatever you want to imagine them be like inside of you, how they're relaxing inside of your guts when you're breathing into your stomach. And the same thing with your back. Make sure your back and even your backside, your bum is soft. And lower back and upper back. No need to be too tight with the back. Just let your back be at ease. And if it wants to be leaning left or right, allow it to lean, or curving forward or backwards, or however it wants to curve. And same with your shoulders. We all carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. Your right shoulder is relaxing when you give it kindness, and with your left shoulder the same. Really pay attention to your shoulder region, how much tension you have there. It's almost like, yeah, you could give your shoulders a mental massage. Just let your shoulders droop down. Let them relax. And with your neck as well. The neck is holding up your heavy head all day. Don't be critical of your, if there's tension there though, just give it kindness and let it relax. It's not your fault that you've been holding tension on your shoulders and on your neck. And let both of your hands, your left hand is very naturally pulling down on your left shoulder and relaxing the left shoulder. Same with your right hand, resting down on your lap. And your whole body from neck down feels like it's slightly more at ease. Just keep breathing in to your body, breathing in contentment. And breathing out, letting go of the every possible tension you have in your body. The only thing we have to do is let the body relax so it can disappear. Whatever makes the body disappear, the better it is. Just relax. And if you feel tired because it's been a long day, to bring energy back into your mind, the best way to do it is have positivity. Even if you don't feel like being positive, sometimes you have to force a little bit, and it hurts less when you smile. So in order not to fall asleep while meditating, bring a smile on your face and it hurts less. Even if you feel like I'm being a curmudgeon, I don't feel like smiling. Smile at that feeling. Smile at the curmudgeon in you. When you smile, you bring a little bit of positivity in your mind and into your body, and the body is even a little bit more relaxed. And positive mind is a mind which is calm. Just feel your whole body as a lump of clay. It will hold itself up. It will take care of itself. Just don't be so worried about your body. Let all the meanings, labels for the body, let them disappear. Your body is just a lump of meat. Water, wind, heat. It's an organism which will take care of itself if you allow it. Feel the body, the organism just sitting there. It feels nice when it's relaxed. Just enjoy the feelings in your body as a whole for a while. It's almost like your body is pulsating positive energy when you allow it to relax. Relax. You can enjoy the body with kindness. If you can just be with those soft, beautiful feelings in your body and just sit. Let the body become more and more soft. Just trust the process. Just enjoy the bodily feelings for a while. And eventually they will change into more and more subtle feelings. The body just has to find its balance. Just relax and enjoy for a while. Once in a while, the breath appears out of there. Just notice the breath appearing. And then if you go enjoying the body, Just go with that. And when the breath appears again, go with the breath. Enjoy that as well. Now your mind should be starting to quiet down. You can put a little bit more effort trying to follow the breath.
Now, come back to your body. Feel the body as a whole. Does your body feel more relaxed than what it was when we started meditating? Can you feel how the body is healthy when it's relaxed? The body is more in harmony when it's relaxed. Now, how do you feel in your mind? Look at the positive things. What have disappeared from your mind? Not what's left, but what did you leave behind? Do you notice that when you just relax, the mind is more at ease? Can you feel that if you keep practicing this way over decades, your mind become more and more soft? I will now ring the bell, and then you can open your eyes when you hear the bell starting to fade away. Very good. It felt like it went really quickly. Maybe I did talk too much in the beginning, perhaps. Okay.
Thank you, Arjan, for the little racing meditation.
Time for questions, comments, complaints. Is there anything we could start from the online? Seems to be everybody sleeping here. Is there anything online? Anything online?
Yes. So that's an online question. Why does the mind automatically go toward negativity? Why isn't the natural state positive?
Yeah, why isn't the natural state positivity? Because we, well, what the Buddha said is we contemplate or put effort into things which are not worth the putting effort to or contemplating effort, there are things which are not worth contemplating. why does it go towards negativity? I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that. But it seems to be so. So I don't have answer for that. But then what we need to do is learn to... the right effort in Buddhism is to relinquish anything. Don't hold on to anything. Let go. The more you can, the better it is. Then when you have the attitude of not attaching you to anything, relinquishing, letting go, whatever you want to call it, renunciation sometimes we call it, it's called, then you have more ability to put nice things in there. The more we have this strong sense of self, the negativity is there. Why it is there, that I don't know. I haven't contemplated. I haven't really heard anybody give good answers on that. But that doesn't matter so much why it is there. It is there. That is a fact. But the bigger your sense of self is, the more you suffer, more you have those negative states. So don't believe too much of in the stories your mind is telling you. Try to believe into, try to let it go more and more. It's hard to override those qualities, those negative qualities with good qualities when they're very, very strong. The only thing when something has disappeared, you know they have disappeared. While you're in negative mind state, you're angry, you're depressed, you don't see anything outside of that. To get out of that is really, really difficult when you have something. And that is actually comes from the suttas. And the Buddha was saying, when it's past, you know you had those mind states. So then you need to do the effort. Okay, now I feel relaxed. Now I'm a little bit more happy. I feel at ease. When you're angry, don't make decisions. When you're angry, don't think you can meditate. When you're anxious, it's a bit difficult. I shouldn't say that. You should meditate when you're anxious. You should meditate when you're angry. But don't think it's going to be really working that well. When there is this kind of, when you're relaxed, when the relaxation happens, it's a lot easier to have the positive states of mind because the other ones have passed. It's you're fighting too much with the negative mind states. It's too much effort. There is that struggle with it. When the sense of self is not strong, the negative mind states don't seem to be there. And the more and more you disappear, less and less you have the negative mind states. Let's say you become a stream enter, you won't have things like hatred anymore. It just doesn't appear anymore in your mind. It doesn't have any kind of foothold. Craving doesn't have any foothold. Sense of self has diminished so much. But until then, we just have gradually tried to lessen that sense of self. And obviously it goes hand in hand with all the other, you know, practices like the kindness and whatever you can, however, all these things we've been teaching you over the years, everybody's teaching you, it goes hand in hand with those things. So you practice more kindness, goodness towards yourself, and the strong sense of self disappears from that. So everything, just all these things, they support each other, and it should be like a positive enforcement what happens over the years. I don't know if that was a good answer, but that's what comes to mind.
Thank you, Ajahn.
Everybody's leaving, so that's great.
Okay.
any questions?
Yes. Yeah.
online more, or you have anybody has anything in the audience? I don't know. I felt my meditation was pretty good. It's amazing that somebody must have had a good meditation today. It's not usually just one person. It's quite interesting when one person gets a good meditation, there's others who get it as well. So I felt really relaxed today, which is quite nice. Okay, so online.
Then there's another online question. Ajahn would like some advice in developing patient endurance in relation to strong sensual pressure or design?
How to be at ease with strong sensual. The thing is, what I've been taught, that comes from Ajahn Brahm mainly, you see those things, what they really are. So obviously being a monastic, we celibate and we have the same sensual desires than everybody else. So we have to really more strongly contemplate the other things, like the bodies. We need to see them more like objectively, have them more in our minds, more like have them more objective things. So if you take whole hair, you get a haircut, you have a beautiful haircut, it looks beautiful. But if you just take one hair, it's actually not that interesting. Same if you look at people. You look at them, people as a whole, you see the skin and everything is very beautiful. But actually what you're looking on the skin is just the top layer of skin. It's when you start looking at it, it's not super interesting. Same the hair of your body or your nails. People do nails. Are nails really interesting? All these things actually are looking. We have this contemplation object as monastics. We see them all dead, and it's actually true. All these things are, whether you see your nails, the growing part is it's hidden there. The skin is all, which on top layer is actually dead. All your hair is dead. So for us, is obviously we have to have a stronger contemplation object as a being celibate. But these strong desires, it's the same thing a little bit. Same thing. You see them what they truly are. You don't give them so much. You give them, you try to look at them more objectively. Are they, what is this, the desire I have? Is it really worth of having so many beautiful things around you? Or can you just have things which are just good enough? That's good enough. Whatever you have, is there worth of chasing that beauty or can I just, just have something which is works, but not to chase the best in the world. And it goes with everything, even with your own body and other people's bodies. You see them more. We're trying to change our perception more towards see them what they truly are, what they can give us, even our own bodies, what our own bodies can give us. The fact of the matter is that when you really enjoy your own body, the desire comes from yourself. So if you have, if you think your body is desirable, you see other bodies desirable, more desirable as well. And it goes with other things, but obviously a lot of these desires, they come from ourselves. But so, I don't know what else to say, but that's how I was always taught, and that's my practice. So I try not to, as monastics, obviously it's different, but we try not to beautify ourselves too much and use beautiful things. So something, whatever you get, is good enough. We don't change those things. But then, so there's levels for everybody. You don't have to become an ascetic, but you sort of see what the life can give us, and you are see them as them supporting you, and anything in life, same with whether it's the food sustains us, gives us nutrition, and there is, you see the kindness when other people feed you, and you feed others with, you know, you see the happiness in other people's faces when you feed them, and you receive a lot when you, both ways, when you eat with your mother, the mother always tries to put the best food in the table when they see you, and so you see that you change your perception instead of seeing the fault, have the fault finding mind. Anything in life, you look at the things with gratitude and kindness. Yeah, they're really trying to put the best effort, and the food is good, and then that food becomes more nourishing towards your body. I guess you could sort of like go that with your partner. I mean, they're not the best, but they're trying. You're not going to find the best partner in the world. Very good. Anything else? But even in your own mind, there's nothing, nobody's mind is very, very special mind. That's what it is. Yep.
Arjun, this is a question from yesterday's talk.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is Devanusati a good practice?
Devanusati? I heard mustache. It's like, oh, the mustache of the devas.
Do you recommend
Anusati? Okay. So okay. Is Devanusati a good practice? Look, I did mention that. I'm speaking over you. Did you want to continue? Was there something else on that question?
Sure. Yeah. Do you recommend it as much as sati, which is mindfulness?
Sati and anusati, they very go hand in hand. I mean, it's the same word. Sati is like mindfulness or memory, and anusati we translate as a contemplation quite often, but it's the same. It's a memory of something. You make something, you over and over again, you contemplate something. So memory, contemplation, even quite often, I would say meditation gets really, really close to that same word. We could, you know, you meditate on something, but you know, you contemplate it over and over again. The Devanusati, I'm not sure it works really for a lot of people, you know, contemplation of devas. If you have a lot of faith and you grew up with that, I can see that, you know, contemplating devas could work. It brings a joy in your mind. The qualities of the devas or the devalokas or something. I mean, yeah, of course it's good practice. But so if it brings the, you know, then kind of like amazement in your, into this kind of practice, and you feel that there's these beings, and perhaps they're supporting our practice. They're sort of looking over after you. They could be looking after you. You see that. So yeah, no, it could, you know, it's a nice practice. And I mean, that being said, sometimes I do think, like, I live in a monastery, and Ajahn Brahm quite often tells that there is devas which are in the monastery, and they're looking, you know, they're happy, and they enjoy hearing the chanting, enjoy hearing the Dhamma. So in that sense, it does sometimes feel very, very nice to be in a monastery. You feel like you're in this, in this realm of devas looking after us and enjoying or rejoicing and looking after us monastics, they enjoy us doing the practice. So it does bring happiness in my mind as well. I just didn't think about it that much. But so it's a good practice, sure. And like I said, I did mention yesterday on the talk, so we have six contemplation objects. So we have the normal ones we use quite often is the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. So, you know, contemplating the goodness of the, and the wholesome qualities, all those things. For the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, you have the respect towards those things. Then we have the Jaga, that kind of your generosity. That's a good contemplation object. I've done generous things in my life. I've helped others. however you want to. Then is the deva. Deva is one of them. So contemplating the devatas. It's part of those things. So now I'm forgetting what am I missing? I just have five. What's the sixth one? Sila is the, yes, exactly. Thank you. Somebody listen to my talks. Sila, your kindness, your goodness of your heart. I like that way. You contemplate your sila. It's a good. They work. So those are worth contemplating. You know, those are worth things worth contemplating. That, and that's what the Buddha said. But most times we contemplate things which are not worth contemplating. And that's what the Buddha said. And that's exactly how it is. Was there any other questions from?
Ajahn, just a comment. Thank you, Ajahn, for the inspiring talk and beautiful meditation. Much gratitude to BSV for streaming.
Thank you. That's it. We have good people here. You're doing a good job. So that's it. I'll let you go home. And that's enough for this week. Nothing else. So I think it's Ajahn Nisarno next week. Oh, Chindo, sorry, no, you're not anymore on this. But whoever is going to be there, it's going to be great teachers coming. And so please keep coming here. Oh, that's true. Pante Arana Vihari is coming next week. Yeah, next week. Yep.